evening. This is Chaim Brachlander, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Webby Yeshiva, and we're going to learn something about the Parsha HaShavua. This is like a very important Parsha. I wish I could go through it, but I'm only going to be able to learn two psukim, the first two psukim of the Parasha. If you're looking at the sheet, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Bo el Paro, Boel Paro, doesn't tell, are you going to say something to Paro? Boel Paro, Ki ani echvantit libo, remember that? But God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have hardened his heart, which means he doesn't really have choice. Paro, I'm telling you that Paro is going to say no. Right? Echvantit libo vet leva badav, and his people are going to be with him, amazingly. After all of these makot, seven makot, arbe, choshech, masach, makat bechorot, the three last makot, very intense, anich badetit libo vet leva vadav, leman shiti ototai eile bikirbo. In order, it sounds like it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have to all do all of these miracles, these plagues in their midst, and therefore he hardened his heart, because if he hadn't hardened his heart, they might have agreed to let the Jews leave earlier. So this is something that's hard to understand. It's hard for me to understand. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish the Egyptians, it could have been done in one go, right? But here that God is saying something to Moshe Rabbeinu that we want to understand, and we don't understand it so well. Leman shiti ototai eile bikir bobi. What could that possibly mean? In order that we will, that God will inflict the makot, the plagues upon them. Well, what does that mean? What is it, in order to inflict? Neman shiti ototai eile bekirbo. Uleman tis a pasuk bet, man tis a pebas may bincha ben bincha, and in order that you should have a story to tell. Now, we don't really tell the story of the Makot on the night of Pesach, if you remember. It's true that we list the Makot, Damti Badea Kinim Arob, and we drop a drop of wine into our plate when we do that. But that's not Leman Tisaper. That's not what we speak about on the night of the Seder. That's not what has come down to us in the tradition. Stories about Makot, L'ma'an, it says, L'ma'an t'saper b'aznei b'incha, u'ben b'incha, et asher t'alalti b'Mitzrayim, all the things that God did in Mitzrayim. We don't tell that story, wherever that is. That ototai and the signs, asher samti b'am, v'yidatem ki ani Hashem, and v'yidatem. It could either mean you, B'nai Yisrael, or you, B'nai Yisrael, teaching the Egyptians. And with all the connections here are also a little hard for me to understand. But the most interesting, I mean, we could learn the Rashi, but it would take us a little bit out of our issue right now. But I would like to just tell you what the Baal Shem Tov asked, supposedly. I mean, it's printed in one of the books that collect things from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, the Baal Shem Tov taught. You know, the Baal Shem Tov was the father of Chassidut. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but Baal Shem Tov is seen as by Chassidim, Chassid, who know Chassidut. Like you could be a Chassid and not know that much about it. But the ones who do know about it, they all agree that the Baal Shem Tov was the father of Chassidut. He said, we've got to do something. We've got to change something. We've got to make something different, better, superior. We've got to do something. That's the Baal Shem Tov. So Baal Shem Tov said, He looked at this pasuk, the first pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and he said, "What is Boel Paro? What is Boel Paro? Why did the Torah write it in that way? It should have written Lechel Paro. That sort of fits in correctly, Lechel Paro, because you have to tell him something." But the pasuk here says, "Ki ani echbadeti et libo ved leibo." That's a reason to go. I mean, so there should be something that Moshe Rabbeinu says, something that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to say to Paro. But no, there's nothing like that. Just boil Paro. Boil Paro. So the Baal Shem Tov said, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is, come with me to Paro. Bo el Paro. Bo iti, as we might say in Hebrew today, in modern Hebrew. Bo iti el Paro. Bo iti vin ne'em mashu. And why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu, come with me to Paro? I mean, after all, he's gone to Paro on other occasions to tell him what's going to be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said Bo El Paro until this time. Bo. What is the word Bo? What does the word Bo mean? Just a second. I've got a request remote control to present the shared content. Request. You can control the take control. Okay. Wow. Take control. How do I do this? How do I change the page? Request. Again, request. Send you to the presenter. Okay, look at this. Look at this. Vayoma Hashem li Noach. Bo ata v'chol beitech beitcha el ha'teva ki otcha ra'iti tzadik lifanai b'dor hazeh. Long after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach to build the Teva, long after Noach's attempts to convince the people that something terrible was going to happen if they didn't repent, his unsuccessful attempts, finally we get to the Mabul, we get to the flood itself. Vayoma Hashem l'Noach, and Hashem said to Noach, Bo ata v'kol beitcha. And so the Baal Shem Tov said, why Bo? Why not Bo? Why not Lech? Lech ata v'chol beitcha el ha'teva. And you see at the bottom of the page, the posuk at the after the Mabu, say min ha'teva, Bo and say, they seem to be the opposite. So what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noah? He didn't just tell him that there's going to be a Mabul, but he told him that the world was going to go back to its original state, ante, the way it was, the way the world was once. How was the world? V'aretz hayta tohu v'bohu, v'choshech al p'nei tehom, v'ruach elokim mirachefet al p'nei hamayim. Where was the mayim? It covered everything. Ruach Elohim was on top of the Mayim. Ruach Elohim mirachefet. It was wavering above the water. Ruach Elohim mirachefet al pnei hamayim. So before the world was created, there was a world. But the world had no order. It was just water. It was all covered by water. Water changes everything. If you cover something with water, it doesn't have a shape anymore. There's no way to distinguish one place from another. That was the way the world was before it was created. And you could say that creation itself also contained moving things around and separating them, and by Avdel, separating the dry land from the rivers and oceans, etc. And all of this went on, because before creation there was creation. That's what Chazal say. That God created many worlds. So there was a creation. So look again at the pasuk. V'aretz hayta tohu vavohu. I don't know exactly what that means, but let's take a stab at it. V'aretz hayta tohu vavohu means without order. Without order. It was just a mess. It was just a mess, and a mess, and without order is a way of saying not finished, not fully created, not the way it will be, not the way it will be. So v'aretz hayta tohu vavohu, it was a mess. The world was a mess. V'choshech al pnei tohu, and there was no light. There was no light. The first creation that God made, that something that didn't exist before was the light. And God said, let there be light, because that didn't exist. Before that, there was only choshech al pnei tohom. There was darkness. And then in that darkness was Ruach Elokim. What's Ruach Elokim? I don't know. I've got a slightest idea, but Ruach Elohim is a way of describing the presence of God. So it was dark, and in the darkness was Ruach Elohim, Mirachefet al Pnei Amayim, and everything was covered with water, undistinguished, unseparated. I'd say then on top that water. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, finally, the time has come, Noach, I want you to go into the ark. I want you to go into the ark. And the Mabul, the flood, is going to start. And he shows him that he is in the pre-creation. The pre-creation, the layers of the pre-creation were the water that covers everything. And on top of the water is Ruach Elokim. And it's dark. And we know that when it rains, the clouds bring the water and the rain, there's no light. There's no light. Everything becomes dark. The clouds cover up all the sources of light that exist, so that Noah metaphorically was going back to pre-creation. And as we know now, pre-creation is also created, right? There's a creation of recreation, which is described perfectly in that pasuk. And so there's a kind of a pleasant description by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says to Noah, come with me, you and your family, right? You and your family, come with me into the Teva. What is the Teva? The Teva representationally represents Ruach Elokim Rachefet al Pnei HaMayim. God is there. He's in that Teva, in that ark, and he's with you, Noach, you and all your household, all the people who are in your family, Bo El HaTeva, that's the place where God is to be found, Ki Otcha Ra'iti Tzadik Lifanai Bador Hazeh, because you are worthy. You are worthy. Now, if you remember Noach, and that's why when Noach is invited to come back into the world, so it says Tzei min HaTeva, which to my mind is the opposite of Bo'el HaTeva. Tzei min HaTeva, because the world is now recreated, the world of division, the world of separation, the world where the water does not cover everything, the world in which Ruach Elohim is found everywhere. Everywhere in the world, if you look for it, you'll find it. That's what the Bala Tanya says in his great work, Tanya. Right? Every place. Everything is made by God, so everything is godly, according to his understanding. So Moshe Rabbeinu, can we go back to the second page? No? Ask for control. Request control, request. Oh, is this it? Here. Okay, got it. Let's look at Moshe Rabbeinu again. Moshe has a problem. Moshe has a problem. The people are wondering. I mean, there are plagues all the time, but the situation doesn't change. How could that be? Moshe Rabbeinu says. How could that be? And so we understand that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki ani echbadati et libo ve'et lev avadav. It's my fault that they don't give in. It's my fault. I want to punish them. And therefore, I've arranged that they're just not going to give in. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that. And what does he see, Moshe Rabbeinu? He sees that Paro doesn't give in. So he says to himself, well, what is Paro thinking? What is it that Paro is thinking which enables him to have this strength, the power of not giving in? Well, maybe Paro wonders if there's a limit to God working against creation. Now, creation is that the blood does not flow in the rivers, that the frogs do not multiply like crazy and take over every space. In other words, it's like we always say, Rav Nachman said that if you daven for something, you always daven for something that is not natural, something that it does not represent nature, because whatever represents nature will be. It'll be so. You know, so I'm not so excited about taking the flu vaccine, even though it doesn't work perfectly, because I do it all the time, every year. But I am excited about taking the corona vaccine because it's something new and different. So it's as if you daven for something that's regular, it's not davening, according to Rav Nachman. Not davening, you're davening for something that's coming. You're going to daven for the sun to rise tomorrow morning? You're not going to, even though you know that it might not, that God decided not to let the sun rise, that it wouldn't rise. But you daven for things, you ask for things that are not reasonable. And one of the reasons that they're not, that davening is not always answered, is because after all, God has to make a decision somehow about whether the action of heaven would be against creation. So Paro might have thought, Paro and those people close to him, they knew about magicians and about magic and about davening and about beseeching their gods for this or that or the other thing. They knew about all of that. And along comes the God of the Jewish people. And they say, the God of the Jewish people, he created the world. And therefore he can do as he wishes. So Paro said, well, I don't know. If he created the world, how many things can God do that contradict the creation? We call them plagues. We call, that's what a plague is. A plague is something unreasonable, unnatural, not something that just happened by accident. It's not like the coronavirus, which seems to be part of the way the world is built. Every once in a while, you're going to have one of those. But Paro is a clever fellow. Paro said, perhaps, right, God is limited in the number of deviations that he can demand. The deviations that he can demand from his power. And eventually, he's going to have to stop. Because eventually, eventually he will just have done too many of these plagues. He'll have too much of contradicting the creation itself. So Vayomer Hashem Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu must have known, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that Paro would never give in, because the Svora that Paro had for not giving in was a good one, according to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was reasonable. It was reasonable. So Vayomer Hashem Moshe bo el Paro, come with me to Paro, and I'll show you that it has nothing to do with God's power, and that God's power in this area is endless, total. They don't really understand. They don't really understand what's happening. So what is it that God asked Moshe Rabbeinu to do, as God asked Noach to do, to come into the place of God, the Ruach Elokim, Mirachefet al Pnei Hamayim, that was Noach, and Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to come into the Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to come in and to enjoy the presence of God, the power of God, the proof that Moshe Rabbeinu would have, that this svara, that the theory that Paro had generated was not acceptable, was not correct, and it was not acceptable. And so the pasuk says, "V'yom Hashem Moshe bo Paro." That this is going to go on until it's finished. But then Pasuk Bet, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues and says, the man tisaper baznei bincha uben bincha, the reason for all of this magical activity, all of these makot, is the man tisaper. Because ultimately, it's difficult to speak about. It's difficult for us to speak about God, but it's not so difficult for us, or it's less difficult for us to speak about things that God has wrought, what God has done in the world that we go back to, and so we know that that if we look for a proof, look for a proof that God created the world, we know that that proof is part of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because only the Creator could have made such a difficult and complicated exodus and made it happen. So that what Moshe Rabbeinu understands from God in this very private meeting that they had at Eitzel Paro, right, in the household of Paro, they had this meeting in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to Moshe Rabbeinu a point of the way, one of the points, but there are other points, but one point of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is Leman Tisaper. It's a story that you're going to be able to tell. And when you tell the story, you will naturally have to think about it. And you'll understand that a story distinguished ultimately between Bnei Yisrael, the people of the children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who understood that they were talking about God who created the world, and Paro, who thought that they were dealing with limited kind of a power. So remember, it's the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov said that Bo El Paro means come with me to Paro, because there's something that we have to discuss. And the thing that we have to discuss is that Paro got it wrong. And because he got it wrong, and we don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to get it wrong. We don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to have any suspicion. So come with God, and you'll see that it was all done for the purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It was done for the purpose of Leman Tisaper, that you'll be able to tell the story, and through the story you'll be able to achieve a basic religious notion. Have a good Shabbos. Be well.